from the book of Numbers, chapter 16, verse 41. It says this: "But on the next day, all the congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and against Aaron, saying, 'You have killed the people of the Lord.' And when the congregation had assembled against Moses and Aaron, they turned toward the tent of meeting, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came to the front of the tent of meeting, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Get away from the midst of this congregation, that I may consume them in the moment.' And they fell on their faces. And Moses said to Aaron, 'Take your censer, and put fire on it from off the altar, and lay incense on it, and carry it quickly to the congregation, and make atonement for them. For wrath has gone out from the Lord, the plague has begun.' So Aaron took it as Moses said, and ran into the midst of the assembly. And behold, the plague had already begun among the people. And he put on the incense and made atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stopped. Now those who died in the plague were 14,700, besides those who died in the affair of Korah. And Aaron returned to Moses at the entrance of the tent of meeting when the plague was stopped." It's a battle between life and death. He used a great phrase, the difference between salvation and damnation. Moses and Aaron could have said, "Well, you know, like, these people have rejected you already, God. You want to kill them, you're God. I mean, if you want to send this plague, then obviously, what are we supposed to do about it? And just, you know, grab a cup of lemonade, sit back on the lawn chair, and watch them all die. And then they would have been rid of their problem, too. They could have just ignored it, but they didn't. Even the thing in going to grab his censer and going to the altar, that's not what the atonement for sin was at all, but God still accepted it. They were just urgently acting out. They went and did that. You know, 14,700 people still died, but how many did they save? And how many did God save through their work? I think the greatest sin and the worst word anyone can ever say or feeling they can have, you know, there's all, people hate evil and people hate things like that, but I really believe in my heart that the worst thing there is apathy. If we're not in the lives of people and influencing people, how are we supposed to help them to change? And it was another great thing that I heard that, you know, if you have a dark room and you have a bunch of candles, you don't just put all the candles in one corner. If you put all the Christians in one church and that's the only place they show up and it's the only thing they do stuff, it's hard to spread light everywhere else. You need to bring light to darkness. You know, and any amount of light will take away darkness. It's no contest. You and I, and ones before us, have dropped the ball. We haven't done what we need to do. And that's, again, I think all just goes back to apathy. It's not that, you know, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. If we don't act, we can't expect results. So I think that's really where we have to change things. You know, John 10:10, the thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but he came that we would have life and have it more abundantly. It's pretty clear. I don't get, and that's where I think, again, we have to be focused on what we're teaching youth, because as I found going to all those island schools, they're never going to be taught in island schools. That stuff matters. Like, if they're not taught it, how do we expect them to know it? It's hard to just know because it's a complicated issue and people don't like to offend each other in our society. So I guess I would just want to encourage everyone that they, you know, that they do that. So if we're not fostering life to other people, we're fostering death. And it's easy to become distracted or to become complacent about it, but it's something we really have to care about. As much as I care about telling jokes to people or getting them involved in working at camp, signing up to come help out with my lawn care or do whatever, you know, if I wanted all that stuff, I'd get them to help because I care about it. But we got to care about the things that we can find in the Bible. So I'm committed that I will do everything I can this summer, that of the 50 or 60 kids I'll have in my cabin for 4 or 5 days, I will implant in every one of them. They can accuse me of indoctrination or whatever, but I will focus time to make sure they know the value of life. I'll tell them about those things, and I influence a lot of the junior counselor that are camp, and I'll make sure it's a topic of discussion that they actually understand, because that's the scary part. Most of them don't. What do we think happens when we shove Jesus away from society? Of course you're not going to know what the truth is. So It just comes back to our responsibility to do it, and it doesn't matter if you're in France, Germany, Spain, Italy, Ireland, or Canada. It matters just as much wherever you go.